Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
Hello. All right, there we go.
Hello, my baby. Hello, my cutie. Hello, my ragtime gal. Baby, my heart's on fire. Send me a kiss by wire. If you refuse me, then you will lose me and you'll be left alone. Oh, baby, come on and tell me I'm your own.
Welcome to the WB.
Welcome to the WB.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Game Classy here on Ice Planet Chicago.
For those, yeah, it was great. My work was like, we're gonna have a late start today. Yesterday at 11, like, we're gonna start at 11, and I'm like, all right, UPS is closed, everything's closed, but I'll go in if it's reasonable. Go out to the parking lot, can't get out. It's like, well,
for those who are unaware, Chicago, the Chicagoland area has had a giant blizzard, but it's definitely a blizzard.
Yeah,
we've had blizzard-like conditions. We've had
a blizzard of Oz.
We've had about a foot of snow, maybe a little bit more. But yeah, my favorite part of this whole thing is there's two types of people here. There's the type of person who's like, why would you go out in this? This is ridiculous. There's snow everywhere. Cars are sliding around. There's accidents. Just stay home. And then there's the people who are like, it's not that bad. I'm going to go into work. Like, what? Like, you bunch of pussies can't go to work because of this snow condition. I'm going to go to, like, why do you care that much? Just stay home. It's fine. You don't have to prove your manhood by driving through a foot of snow just to prove that you're better than us for some odd reason.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I would have given it an honest try, but couldn't get out of the parking lot, so yeah. Well, I'm staying home.
Luckily, the schools were, like, called it ahead of time. They're like,
yeah,
you know what?
All the schools closed.
Yeah, and Chicago never does that. Chicago, it'll be like, the seven-headed dragon from the St. John's Apocalypse has risen out in Millennium Park.
We'll close when there's an eight-headed dragon.
Yeah. The horror of Babylon is riding upon its back. The four horsemen of the apocalypse have come in. In other news, Chicago public schools are still open.
She's got like 10 dildos up there. Yeah, but call us when it's an eight-headed dragon, then we'll close.
Exactly. That was under Daly. Daly would never close schools. But
and where is he?
He's
prison.
No, Daly's not in prison.
Isn't he?
No.
I don't know. Too many Illinois politicians are in prison. I can't keep track.
That's governors. Governors.
Yes,
governors,
yes, yes.
And aldermen go to prison.
Very good.
Mayors do not. But yes, the Chicago closed ahead of time. And then this morning, yesterday morning, people were like, it shouldn't have closed. I'm like, there's 12 inches of snow on the ground. Who is going to drive in that? Do you want, honestly, to people to drive in that to get to go to a school, like, and drop off their kids? Like, no, there's no reason for that. Don't push that on people. It's ridiculous.
Yes.
Hold on a second. I got a text. Who the fuck's teching me? Oh. No, it's something about The Office.
Very good.
The TV show The Office. So yeah, this is what we're dealing with here in Chicago is a snowy frost on top of us. It's still snowing as of right now as we're recording. Probably continue to snow. And I get to go to a pool to swim today, so.
That's so weird.
I know. We were invited, so.
When you said that, I was just like, what? It wasn't that I didn't believe you. It was just mostly just like, that's so weird. Like, it's the middle of winter. Like, who goes swimming in the middle of winter?
We were invited, and my wife has literally been home with the baby for the last 2 days, and she's going stir crazy. So we're like, okay, let's go out. We'll go do something so you don't murder me and the child in our sleep.
That's fair.
Yeah, because she's getting to that point where it's going to be a murder-suicide.
That's fair.
And I just don't want to be murdered at this time in my life. I'm not quite prepared for murdered.
But maybe you'd be the suicided.
No, I'm not going to be suicided. I have no issue and no want to be suicided.
I'm just saying, she could grab your hands and make you do it yourself.
Well, that's different. That's still murder.
I said suicided.
There was a court case of a guy jumping out of a window and someone shot their gun out the window the second he jumped out the window, so it shot him and technically killed him before he hit the ground, is it considered murder or is it considered suicide?
Well, it's murder. Cause of death was the gun.
Well, technically it's manslaughter, but...
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm sure there's a specific level of charge, yeah. But like that, the cause of, like, if we're going with rules as written, the gun killed him, so
well,
you have to do that.
Yes, there's rules as written according to the Constitution, but there's also intent. So
that's why there's different levels of murder,
and that's why you don't have the British write your rules. That's the thing.
We wrote those rules.
Yeah, but they're based off the British rules.
Shittily, we came up with our own rules, and they're way shittier.
We came no way.
This country was founded by the prudest of prudes.
No, I'm talking like the base laws of our government's a little better than the UK. I'm saying the base laws. I'm not saying
the base laws are the fucking same everywhere. Don't kill people. Don't steal shit. Like, that's the base laws.
So what it comes down to is protecting the capitalists. Is what you're saying?
Yeah.
Just don't kill the rich people. We're okay.
Yeah, that's what the laws are. Duh. But you know what, Joe? Laws won't save them.
They'll be eaten. Yeah. Oh, I can't wait till we start eating the rich, man. I shouldn't say that because technically, according to Wikipedia, I'm in like the upper middle class, and I'm like, oh, that's not good for our society. Nice. If I'm upper middle class,
I'll suck the marrow from your bones. Say, I'm just looking forward to being able to run around with no clothes on, just one of those big fucking cod pieces and a hockey mask.
Okay,
that's what I want.
You want Lord Humongous?
Yeah, I'm gonna be humongous, and I'm gonna have two magnums. I'm gonna be double humongous.
I'm okay with this. You know what, Steve? I support you in your efforts during the eating of the rich.
And I'm going to have a dune buggy.
Dune buggy.
I got to be in a dune buggy.
Well, if it's the post-apocalypse, you got to have a dune buggy.
Yeah,
speaking of...
I'm going to be on the back and someone's going to drive me around.
Speaking of, did you see... where is it at? You've been sleeping like 2 seconds before I even got here.
Mm-hmm.
But James this morning texted us on the Facebook page. He asked us a question. You didn't happen to see that, did you?
No.
All right, so might as well just start off with gaming talk, talking about this, so I can get
talking games,
gaming classy. Because you know I'll get into the GW stuff that he'll get mad at later. So, I come to you for advice. All my non-gaming, drug-taking, easily distracted friends want to do a Fallout-inspired D&D adventure for one of their birthdays next Friday. I know nothing about D&D because I have a fundamental problem slipping into a character, but they know I got some dice. The B-Day boy is DMing, so all I really want to do is recommend him an easy RPG system that would maybe have a Fallout module. What was the system that Joe described once for a Halloween party zombie scenario? That was the end of the world scenario by Fantasy Flight Games.
Yeah, there's multiple
that's
games.
Zombie.
Actually, they have an apocalypse one.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a nuclear apocalypse one, which would be perfect. Right,
that's what I was going to suggest. I did the zombie one, which is cool. And then also he's asked if this D20 homebrew Fallout rule set would be fine. It's D20.
I avoid D20 homebrews.
Yeah. Here's my suggestion is that if the person knows how to run an RPG, like they understand RPGs, go with the end of the world one because it's really simple and you're just doing a one night. It's perfect. You don't have to worry
about
super rules. If you are doing, if they have no idea what they're doing, just make shit up.
This is why I can't wait for Space Kings to be released.
Space Kings.
Because every single time anyone's ever like, I want to run a one shot, I'm just like, dude, run Space Kings. Like, I can't wait for that game to come out. Like, I need that Kickstarter to happen, and I need to get a copy of it.
Is it sci-fi?
Well, I think it's going to be pretty... It is... The world it has is sci-fi, but it's pretty generic.
Is it sci-fi?
It's pretty generic, but it's... Everyone has a... The way it works is everyone has a deck of cards instead of dice, and... You have two. You have more. It's like White Wolf style. So you have your stat and your skill.
Am I invisible?
No.
I got to cross my arms. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then I'm in. Now am I invisible?
So
now I'm in a werewolf.
Yes. Krynos.
I'm Krynos.
Krynos form.
Is that what it's called?
Uh-huh.
That's stupid.
Yes, it is.
People are stupid.
Well, I mean, it was the 90s. So Space Kings has it's very simple. So you have your stat like brawn, like you know that's your strength, and then you have like melee, which is your swordsman skill, right? So if you're like, I'm gonna stab this dude, I'm like, all right, give me a brawn melee. So you take whatever your numbers are. So say you have 4 brawn and 2 melee, that's 6. You take your deck of cards and you flip the top 6. Any face cards are successes. if you get a Joker, something wild happens. If you have a Joker and no successes, something bad happens.
Ooh.
So that's it. That's the whole fucking game. And it's super fast. It's super simple. You go through the deck. So there's actually a little bit of like thinking when you're doing it, because you're like, oh shit, if I do a huge roll here, I'm gonna fail, because like I've got all my face cards are in the discard pile. So you gotta be like, you know, so it's kind of like that. But and then the way the game works is it's super fast. It's super simple. I listened, there's a actual play of it by the guy who's making the game called Pretend Friends. They have their episodes up on YouTube, and you can download them as a podcast, and it's fucking great. Like, it's really funny, and like the system sounds perfect, especially for like
a one-off.
Yeah, one-offs, or like if you want to have some fucking drinking while you're doing your RPG, or if you have guys who want to play but like your group has never really been like,
what are you drinking,
rule heavy?
Because if you're not drinking Mountain Dew Code Red, the official sponsor of all gaming,
well, let's say Mountain Dew Code Red with a bunch of vodka in it.
Oh, I don't know what's worse, the Mountain Dew Code Red or the Mountain Dew Code Red with vodka.
Well, see,
it.
The thing is, there's no way you'll be able to taste the vodka because of the Code Red.
Because the Code Red is so awful.
Yeah, the Code Red is so potent. You could put Everclear in there and it wouldn't matter.
Oh, God.
You'd actually be like, this tastes good. What happened? Is this Code Red? Is this actually Code Red?
I remember doing the 48 hours of gaming at the GW, and like,
because I remember the kids passing out in the corner. That was always good.
And I would be like, if I'm working the midnight to 6 a.m. shift, I'm like dying. So I drink, like, they'd have like a cooler full of Mountain Dew for us, mm-hmm. just to keep us going. And I remember drinking the Code Red and just going onto the floor in like a diabetic coma. And it's being like,
the 48 hours stroke. Of gaming was my favorite. I loved that. That was cool. Especially because that was that time Joe was working at UPS. So he was like, he worked the fucking
Joe.
He worked one of the many Joes. He worked the twilight shift, so it was really wild for him to come in and be like, "Hey man, let's play a game." It's like, okay, it's like fucking 2 a.m. Let's spin up the dice and play a game of 40K.
No, the
and then like fucking Lars would just be passed out on the paint counter.
Lars, he listens to this podcast. You know that?
Nice. Hi Lars.
Hi Lars.
Good times.
Because he always talks about it to the guys. He's like, you listen to Joe and Steve's podcast?
Nice.
Yeah.
That's good. I'm glad to hear that he's doing well and not dead.
Yes. Well, we don't know. He could have died between now and the last time that I heard of him.
Well, hopefully not.
We'll see, probably at Adepticon.
Yeah, all right.
Sometime. Lars, come say hi to us at Adepticon. Speaking of Games Workshop stores, they made the official announcement on the placing of the Warhammer Cafe.
Yeah.
Because when you think of Warhammer, you think cafe, a little French-style bistro. You know, maybe
Texas.
Yeah, they're doing it in Dallas. I knew about it ahead of time. I just, like, immediately once they announced it and they didn't say where they're doing it, I texted my contacts and I'm like, where the hell are they putting this?
Texas. I guess Texas does have a lot of minis.
It's pronounced Tejas.
It does have a lot of minis players.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I think Wisconsin would be the place.
Wisconsin?
I think there's I don't know. I obviously don't have the sales figures because I don't sell Workshop, but I would imagine that other than the Chicago Metro, Wisconsin would be the biggest purchaser of Warhammer models.
Probably. I mean, they do have a huge crowd out there.
Yeah, I mean, and plus it's the frozen north. There's nothing to do other than stay at home and paint models.
Wake up to the great white north. Yeah. Wake up and eat cheese.
Welcome to the land of the ice and snow. Something, 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 and there's cheese.
Wake up from the land of the ice and snow. And the harsh winds blow.
Yeah, that one.
Yes. Immigrant song.
Yes. That song's not going to be allowed in America much longer.
No, it's going to be deported back to Mexico where it belongs.
That's right.
by our commander-in-chief, Cadet Bonespurs.
I heard a great gag about it's like, you know, we have like a lot of Cajun people living here as if they're one of us. Like, they come up and they talk to me and they're like, listen here, if we're building a wall anywhere, we're building it around Louisiana.
The Creole. The Acadians is sometimes they're called.
Acadians?
Acadians.
Oh, I'm going to say, Acadians, huh?
Well, there was
are they going to stand against chaos?
Well, there was a bunch, you know, they were all French Canadians. And then the British took over Canada And they were like, oh, you got to get out of here. And they're like, oh. And so they went down to Louisiana.
We will go nowhere.
We go down to Mississippi and we're going to eat crawfish. Crawfish.
You're going to lose the gator.
You got to get a gator. Come on down. This is a weird stereotype for those who don't live in the U.S. There's these people who live only in southern Louisiana called Cajuns or Acadians or Creole.
Yeah, they speak Creole, which is a weird ass mix of English, Spanish, and French.
Well, Creole is a type of language, but they speak Cajun.
Yeah, as we like Cajun, that's what it is. Yeah, Cajun. It's a weird ass mix of those three languages.
Yeah.
It's odd.
And it's
and they just walk around and exist like they're regular people, but they're not.
They're not regular people, no. They're fun-loving people. I don't trust them, but, you know, whatever. You get stabbed.
Would you say that they're the gypsies of the Americas?
No. Gypsies are the gypsies of America.
I see.
Have you ever been to a mall that's closing?
No.
Terrifying. Fair gypsy enough. Children everywhere.
We're
allowed to be. Aren't we allowed to speak disparaging against gypsies? Like everyone else, like you'll get in trouble for, but gypsies, it's still okay.
I think we can talk poorly against anyone who's white. Like we can call as many honkies as we want.
But are gypsies white?
I think so.
Okay.
Pretty sure. I mean, aren't they Slavic? That's white.
No, I think they're Romanian, aren't they?
That's white, isn't it?
I guess.
Slavic-y?
I don't know these things. All I know is that their children run wild throughout malls across America.
All I know is if you hit them with your car while getting a blowjob from your wife, they're going to curse you, and you're going to get thinner and thinner and thinner.
That's
and then
true.
You're going to have to eat the curse pie.
The curse pie.
That's right.
Thina. That's a stupid movie and an even stupider book.
That movie was okay.
It's a dumb Stephen King adaptation.
Yeah, but it's okay.
It's an adaptation.
It had Hank Azaria in it. Not Hank Azaria. The guy who plays Fat Tony.
He does play Fat Tony. Joe Mantegna.
Joe Mantegna. Yeah, he's in it.
Yeah. So you get like a movie based off a Stephen King novel that shouldn't have been a novel. It should have been a short story. But anyway, so yes, so you have a Warhammer Cafe. Speaking of fat people who will never get thin. That's what you want at a Games Workshop store. An excuse for them not to... That used to be the excuse is like they would leave when they were hungry. So they'd have to go somewhere else to eat whatever have you.
I mean, they would just collect their Portillo's and come back to the store.
But yes, but at least they would leave for that 10 to 15 minutes where you get a break from them.
Yeah, but then they would sit back and you'd have to watch them eat Portillo's.
Oh, and they would stink so bad. Like Portillo's, I love Portillo's, but it stinks.
Yeah, you shouldn't eat Portillo's in public. Yeah. Unless you're at the Portillo's.
Oh, yeah.
Which is fine.
It's got that... like really greasy, kind of like that sharp greasy smell, like yeah. Like ooh,
it's and, like, you know, it's kind of like you're smelling and you're like, I smell like I'm dying.
And on top of that, it's like you can't get rid of that smell. That smell lingers.
No, it's forever. Like you get a couple Maxwell Street Polishes.
Oh,
people
yeah.
are gonna be like, who's eating Maxwell Street Polishes? I had some like 4 days ago.
It's like you still got like the onion on your face, like that grease, because it's just the steam that rises off of it is just grease steam,
yeah,
and then it comes down and then it forms a thin layer.
Yeah, it becomes part of wherever you're eating.
Yeah, I mean you could use it as a clear coat on your models
for sure.
That steam, you've got a plate of Portillo's and you just take your model and wave it over.
They sniff your army and they're like, this is a Portillo style coat.
Portillo style.
It is.
Matt.
Yeah,
it's
Matt.
Portillo's matte sealant. Oh man, hold on, Steve.
I want to go to the Portillo's gloss coat.
Hold on, Steve. I think we just came up with $1 million idea here.
Make your army smell like Portillo's.
Make your army smell like Portillo's. Because then the fat guy will be playing and he'll be like, I don't want to pull.
Did you say
sausage.
The fat guy?
No, a fat guy would be playing.
Okay.
Or a Games Workshop enthusiast would be playing.
Enthusiast.
Would be playing and he'd be like, oh, I got a taste for Portillo's. You win. I'm going to go get some food. Then you auto win. There you go.
Good times.
Yeah. So now they have no excuse to leave the store. They're going to sit there all day and all night because they have no friends. They have no family. They have no life. All they have is the Warhammer Cafe in Dallas. So hopefully they get like some barbecue. I mean, I would give that a try.
I imagine they would.
Yeah.
I mean, the food looks really good in the pictures from Warhammer World. Like that gigantic, like 20-pound hamburger. It's
you know,
just like, pretty sure that would kill you if you tried to consume it.
That's Britain, right?
I think so. I think
how do they
I think
boil,
it's in Nottingham.
How do they boil the hamburger?
You know, British people cook the same way we do. They just fry shit.
No, they boil everything. They boil all meats.
That's not accurate.
James, how do you boil a hamburger patty? I mean, it would just fall
steamed
apart.
Hams. Steamed hams. You call them steamed hams, despite the fact they're obviously grilled.
It's a regional term.
Really? What region?
Upstate New York.
Upstate, well, I'm from Utica, and I've never heard that before. Oh, Utica? No, no. It's an Albany expression.
Oh, good times.
Yeah, no, I looked pretty good. That, like, gigantic fucking hamburger they got. I think it's called the Ogre Burger. It was, like, monstrous and had, like, a million billion toppings. It looked solid.
Yeah, the, I you know, whatever. But, I mean, if I'm going to Texas, I'm not going to eat, like, Warhammer Cafe food. I'm going to eat Texas barbecue or the biggest steak I've ever seen. Like, I want to go to Texas and be like, I want one of those famous big steaks. And they bring it out and they're like, is this big enough for you? And I'd be like, it's kind of big.
I mean, like, the Midwest has the best food already. So
I know, that's what I'm saying.
It's like, if you're in Texas, like, the only really thing you could get that would, like, be reasonably superior to Midwest would be barbecue or Tex-Mex.
Well, I mean, in Texas you could get, you know, I don't know. Chicago's got some pretty good Mexican food up here.
Tex-Mex.
Isn't Tex-Mex just, like, tacos and shit?
No, Tex-Mex is, like, a very specific, like, weird Western Mexican fusion.
Okay.
So it'll be, like, I don't know, a fucking BLT with guacamole on it.
Get that everywhere up here.
But you know what I mean. Like, yeah. It's like there's a specific thing.
You know what, Steve?
Angel Baker knows.
You know what white people love? Guacamole.
Guac. Of course I know guac is extra, bitch. Yeah. Throw the money at him.
Exactly. You want to see a white woman spend money faster? Tell them there's guacamole and it's extra charge. Just see them.
Guac. You have to refer to it as guac.
Yeah. I just tell my wife, like, it's like, it's okay, I understand. She's like, I want a guacamole on it. I'm like, she's like, it costs extra. I'm like, I understand.
You know, I really do like avocados. Not a huge fan of guacamole.
They're fine. Both are fine.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not hating on it. Just, you know, just saying I prefer slices of avocado.
It's the same to me. I don't really care. Guacamole is just avocado with tomatoes and cilantro.
Whole bunch of shit in it.
That's it.
I hate cilantro.
Well, I mean, if you hate cilantro, you'd hate it.
But you can get guacamole without cilantro as well.
I do. I like cilantro. So.
I don't like cilantro. Cilantro is like an infestation of food. It's like slowly like creeping its way into everything. In the 90s, it was pesto. And the bane of food in this age is now cilantro.
You know what I hate? You know, I don't like pesto because I don't like pine nuts. I'm not a pine nut fan.
Yeah. Pesto is like, eh.
I like basil.
I'm indifferent towards pesto.
Yeah.
Pesto is fun to say, though.
Jimmy Pesto?
Jimmy Pesto. That show's pretty good.
Jimmy Jr.?
Jimmy Jr. No, I can't, I've got to go dance. don't talk to me. I'm dancing.
All right.
Surprisingly so. Like, because that show looked pretty bad, but it ended up being...
Yeah, I mean, it's got really good talent to it.
It's Deese.
All right. So Raza also sent us a question I wanted to talk
about. Rachel Ghoul?
Raza Dekan.
Very good.
Dekan. Raza Dekan. I am thinking about doing a He-Man skirmish board game.
He-Man.
It would be PvP with teams of 3 to 5 models. Clearly, you have He-Man and the Masters versus Skeletor and his followers. But should I also pursue the Snake Men, the Horde, and She-Ra and her Freedom Fighters?
You absolutely have to.
Yeah. No doubt about
it. There's no question. You have to get everything. Like, yeah. There's so many fucking He-Man toys. There's so much potential to do battles. And the way I would do that is I would straight up, like, I'd do it Arena Rec style.
Yeah.
Where you have the faction, you take, like, X number of mans from said faction, and that's it.
Well, I was kind of thinking something very similar, like Arena Rec style or Shadespire style, where it's you have a set number of models in a faction, but each, what I would do a little bit differently than you is I would do, because I was thinking about this based on his question, is I would have certain designees, like keywords for certain characters. Like, this would have to be a leader character. Your band can take one leader character. So you get He-Man or Man-at-Arms. He's, like, another leader, or Fisto or something like that. And you'd have to have, like...
What about Buzz-Off? I need more Buzz-Off.
Well, Buzz-Off, I think, would be one of those guys that could float between good and bad, because I don't think they're both... I don't think he... Or, like, Zodiac.
Orko.
Orko. Well, Orko's definitely...
Manny Faces. You guard the hallway because you have Manny Faces.
Madden E faces. Yes, I mean, there's like certain cards that can float and certain guys that can float between either one.
Mm-hmm. You gotta have Hordak. Hordak's fucking sweet.
Well, yeah, Hordak and the Horde, yeah. Because so named after him, Hordak.
Yes, Hordak. Yes. Hordak. I always thought that was fucking sweet that She-Ra had a way cooler villain than He-Man.
Did you ever, well, you don't have Netflix anymore, but I was going to say the...
I recently went back to Netflix.
There's a series on there called The Toys That Made Us.
I watched it.
Did you see the He-Man one?
I did.
Fucking fantastic.
Yeah, it was really funny. That old dude was just like, He-Man.
I loved it because it was a bunch of old fat guys talking about, like with my favorite is the Battle Cat, where he's like, you can't make it, it's all off scale. He's like... Fucking repaint the tiger. Yeah,
he painted it green.
Yeah.
Just paint stuck him on there.
He's just like, paint the fucking tiger.
Yeah, because it was from Action Joe or whatever.
Yeah, Action Jackson.
Yeah, it was
like
some
that.
Knockoff
Action G.I. Jim. That's what it was.
Action Jim was a knockoff G.I. Joe.
Yeah. And you got a... It was great because just the way that they got angry about it. And then they got mad.
Skeletor!
They were like, you have this like really dark comic book that's in the figure. And then you have the Filmation one, which is all like goofy.
I remembered that. Like, I didn't remember that comic book until I watched that. And I was like, holy shit, it did come with little comic books.
I'll bring it. I have my whole collection at home. I'll bring them next time.
I was like, wow, I remember that. Yeah. I remember. I had some He-Man. I had some He-Man, you know.
You could bring Merman into your army.
I had all the snake guys. They were my favorite because I loved snakes as a kid.
The Serpent Society or whatever they're called.
And there was the one dude who looked like one of the masters, but you push the button on his back and his whole body explodes.
Yeah, he was
the
leader,
snakes.
Dude. He was leader Tut or something
that
like that.
Fucking sweet.
Yeah, he was some weird dude like that. And then they had the King Hiss. That was his name.
King Hiss.
Oh man, I can't believe I remembered that.
But yeah, you definitely
Constrictor with the big fucking arms.
His arms were made of snakes.
Big snake arms.
Yes,
you definitely brilliant.
You definitely need to make the snake man. That's the rules.
Yeah, and the oh god, yeah.
He-Man would be a pretty fun minis game.
Here's my issue with it though. Like all games that are based off of a well, I guess it would work. You know what? If Knight Models can make Batman the miniatures game work, you could make He-Man the miniatures game work.
He-Man would be a way. Actually, I think He-Man would be an even better style because Batman only has like Batman. Like the Batman miniatures game. That's the thing that for me, I'm just kind of like, it's just Batman.
There's so many expansions for that right now.
But then it's all villains.
No, there's a bunch of hero expansions.
Oh, did they add heroes?
Yeah, there's like Flash, Flashpoint, Green Arrow.
Okay. But yeah, for He-Man, that seems like a no-brainer. You just have every little box set is
a little faction,
like five men. Comes with He-Man and four masters.
Well, you could
and...
do like a Castle Grayskull faction, which has like Teela, the Sorceress, Man-at-Arms, and Ram-Man.
What I would do is, if I were designing that, I think I would do a six-man box. Five would be core, and then one would be a like mercenary style. Yeah. So if we're gonna say Orko could join any of the good factions,
yeah.
So like your He-Man box would be He-Man, Teela, Fisto,
well,
Man-at-Arms.
That's the way you could have like a really interesting deck construction is that you have floaters and like very faction specific people.
Yeah,
like for example, like He-Man is one of those guys that can go in any faction. Period. And then you have like a Castle Grayskull faction, which can have a couple guys go into it, but certain people like Fisto can't go into the Castle Grayskull faction.
You can only be in the Masters.
You can only be in the Masters faction, you know? And same thing with like Skeletor, you could have certain people.
Yeah.
You know, he'd have like his Beastman and stuff like that. It would definitely always be there. But then you'd have someone like Zodiac that can only go in certain factions or things like that. So you could have interesting construction that way and not be limited to, you know, a specific
now here's the real
almost like a deck.
Here's the real question for the sculpts: do you want them to be miniature versions of the fucking bulky ass fucking action figures, or do you want them to be like the comic style where they have realistic proportions?
I think like the toys that they did in the 2000s,
the realistic proportions
one I think would work good.
I would go with the realistic proportions. However, I would do variants of the shitty action figures.
Oh yeah.
So you can have the Skeletor that looks just badass, and you can also have the Skeletor who's just like a buff little dude.
Oh yeah. What do they call him? Horseman? The Horseman series? Like I think that was the sculptors.
Gentle Giant?
No, it was like the Horseman.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Four Horsemen or something.
Yeah,
like
they,
that.
Yeah, they're still making shit.
Yeah.
They made a Castle Grayskull.
Yeah, well they have those new ones now that are super fucking expensive that are really cool though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because they're making like new characters and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the only thing that I would do, I'd wonder about with that, and I think you could probably do it, especially if you did it like Arena Rex style, would be adding like Battle Cat and like He-Man riding Battle Cat, you know, like.
Oh, it'd be easy. Yeah. Arena Rex style. You just copy the way Arena Rex did it and do it for He-Man.
Yeah. And that robo horse.
The only thing that would be rough is if you tried to get in. I would not get into the vehicles.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't. I don't think I'd get into
vehicles. Battle Cat would be as far as I'd go.
Yeah.
Like a mount. Yeah. Because every character had a mount. She-Ra had her Pegasus, Battle Cat for He-Man,
Panther
for Panther. Skeletor. Did Hordak have a mount?
No, Hordak did not have a mount. I could think of.
Then I would do one specific small vehicle for Hordak.
And then you know what I would do after you run out of all the He-Man guys to do? Add in the Insectoids.
You oh, nice.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
Or the what is it called? The ones with the fucking with the hologram.
Visionaries?
Visionaries.
They're not He-Man.
I know, but you can still add them.
That'd be sweet. Yeah. I mean, I would say the next thing to add would be to branch off and add Inhumanoids.
Inhumanoids. Yeah. No, Inhumanoids are too sci-fi, I think.
No. See, yeah. That's the thing. Master of the Universe is sci-fi. It's on another planet. Well, no. They have no, fucking
we
vehicles
talked about this before.
Spaceship.
We talked about this before. If you're doing an Inhumanoids game, it has to be like...
Just use the action figures? Because they have the slime?
The Inhumanoids, you'd have to use the...
Monsterpocalypse?
Yeah, Monsterpocalypse style. Where you'd have the big-ass guys and then the little dudes. And it'd be different scales.
Visionaries,
so.
They harness the power of light.
Exactly.
I mean, I would just start branching... you know what? No, there's a perfect first crossover game for He-Man, and it's Thundercats.
Thundercats are on the loose.
Yes.
Thundercats
get
are
fucking
loose.
Lion-O and Mumm-Ra.
Yeah, actually, yeah, you could have some pretty good factions if you brought in the Thundercats. I agree, Steve. I agree 100% with this.
Thundercats.
The Thundercats would be good. Because the Thundercats, you have the Thundercats. You have the
Has there ever been a Thundercats-He-Man crossover? Because that seems like a natch. Like,
maybe they're just not by the same company.
Yeah,
so.
They
probably are all owned by Hasbro now anyway.
Yeah.
So.
Now they are, so yeah. For sure.
Yeah. But I mean you'd have the Thundercats, you'd have Mumm-Ra and all those guys, and then you'd have like the Lost Thundercats, those three that were kind of hanging out, and then there was like the weird mercenary Viking robo dudes. Like, yeah, that would all work. I agree with this 100%. This is what we do.
Yeah. Then you just branch into different 80s cartoon shows that have the same kind of thematic levels. So you do Silverhawks,
Tiger Sharks.
If you want, I wouldn't go 90s, but if you wanted to go 90s, there's also opportunity there. You could do Biker Mice from Mars.
Ugh.
With Sheriffs of Moo Mesa. you know what?
Big Bad Beetleborgs.
Blackstar. Sheriff John Blackstar.
It's not Blackstar, though.
Isn't it?
No, Blackstar.
Oh, no, Blackstar is the Conan guy with the sword. Blackstar would be good.
Yeah, Blackstar would be
good. You could stick Blackstar in there because he's kind of like He-Man.
No, Bravestar. Marshall Bravestar.
You could do Bravestar and Blackstar.
Marshall Bravestar would work.
Yeah.
Remember how he had a horse that turned into like an anthro horse?
Dude, they fucked.
They had to.
Totally fucked.
Had to.
100%.
Speed of the Puma.
Eyes of the Tiger.
No, it was Eyes of the Eagle.
Whatever.
It was Eyes of the Eagle, Speed of the Puma, Strength of the Bear, and like something like...
He was a Native American space sheriff.
I failed to see what the problem is with this, Steve.
Yes. So there you go. An 80s battle miniatures game anchored by He-Man, branching into other similar genre shows. I think that would be a thing.
I
think that would crush it on Kickstarter. The biggest issue for that would be pricing for licensing.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure they'd be up for licensing because almost everything's up for grabs these days, but like the price is going to be
a
factor.
Because in my head, if I was doing this, I would copy Cool Mini or Not doing like Zombiepocalypse or Zombicide. That's not Zombiepocalypse. Mm-hmm. Zombicide, in that you have like a core set. And for the He-Man game, you could probably do, I don't know, 10 models per side. And then you have like the little sets that you could add on or as stretch goals, or you could buy into for the stretch goals. That's how I would see it.
Do a box set of He-Man versus Skeletor and the Masters, and then the other box that's She-Ra versus Hordak and the Horde.
Oh, now that would be series two. Season two.
I would do a double box. I would just do a launch with a double box set because you don't want to launch with only two factions. Two factions is not enough. It's just not.
Well, that's the thing is
you got to launch with
no.
However you do it, you got to do it four. Four has to be your launch minimum.
In my view of looking at this, you can actually do good versus good because you have different factions. You're faction building is what you're doing.
But,
so you don't have to necessarily like you can have the Masters versus Masters or Skeletor versus Skeletor or whatever those guys are called because you're doing. The way that the deck building works.
Sure, but you still need four.
That's what I'm saying.
Still need that variety.
Because if you have 10 guys per side, you can actually base that into four different like war bands if you want.
Yeah, I would do the recommended size game I would do would be 5 figs, and the box sets would be 6 and 6.
Oh, so yeah.
you'd have one little option, and then you have, you know, your 2 box sets, so you can start mixing and matching.
I would say 3 to 5, and that I would say 3 to 5, 7 max, and each character is awarded a certain number of points. Like
slots,
or it would be like in 40K, the PL. So like, this guy's worth one PL.
A giant inhumanoid would be fucking sick in that game. Just your faction is just one inhumanoid. Like,
inhumanoid.
Like you're just decomposed. It's like they set up their He-Man thing. It's like, who are you bringing?
Decompose.
You just fucking slap him on the table. It'd be sick.
It'd be
awesome.
It's like, Steve, what are you bringing to the He-Man tournament at Adepticon? Just decompose.
Yeah, just decompose.
Have you finished painting him yet?
Yeah, he's pretty good. He sprayed him green.
Sprayed him green.
He's done.
He's not even supposed to be green.
Yeah, whatever.
It's just bone. You just dry brush him.
Yeah. I'm going to win.
When best painted. No, because you'd have his, he'd be like, every time you roll a dice, you'd be able to replace one of their characters with a...
Yes. This is fucking sick. That show was actually pretty fucking dark for that was back when like the 80s cartoons were getting away with shit.
Yeah.
That they couldn't get away with in the 90s.
I just,
there was good stuff in there.
I just like how that was obviously written by me and you now, and it was traveled back in time to make that, because that's what we would come up with for it. Just,
what is it called? Inhumanoids. Evil. I'll just say it a lot.
Inhumanoids. Inhumanoids.
That was a pretty big 80s thing.
Evil that lies within.
That was an 80s theme song thing, though. Yeah. Many 80s theme songs repeated what the thing was. Right. They say Thundercats a million times. Transformers. Yeah, all the old theme songs used to just repeat what the name of the show was.
I still think my favorite one is
Conan, the most epic warrior ever.
Conan, the adventurer.
So there you go. You can stick fucking Conan in this game. This game,
without
this game would work. It just everything has to be just the only thing. It has to be
licensing.
Licensing, and it has to be thematically Saturday morning cartoon that's similar to He-Man. Yeah. So,
man, the train in this would be badass.
Oh yeah.
You make a fucking
giant ass 28 millimeter
Castle Grayskull, man.
It'd be sick.
Man, Castle Grayskull.
Castle Grayskull, man.
You got Castle Grayskull, man. Cajun Castle Grayskull. Castle Cajun. All right. Ooh, what's this?
Yeah, that'd be sick. I'm in. Spiral Zone?
What's this?
Oh, it's Cop. No? I don't know this one.
This is a long one. Rugged Land Operations
Specialist. This one, you got me. Ace McCloud. It sounds so fucking familiar. Oh, okay.
Centurion's Power Extreme.
Holy shit. That one was a little... I think that one was a little before me. But... Oh, Defenders of the Earth, of course.
Defenders of the Earth. We took characters in the public domain.
Yeah, it's fucking the...
Mandrake the Magician and the Phantom.
The Phantom, yeah. And it was the Phantom, the Magician, and then who was the other one?
Oh, there's a bunch of them.
Yeah, like that was good. Jason the Wheel Warriors. You know what? The best. I think I finally settled in. Like the best 80s theme song is probably Spiral Zone.
Spiral Zone's pretty good.
Spiral, like. And then the other one that's really good is Ulysses. Ulysses. Ulysses travels through the galaxies. Yeah, I think this game has potential.
Ace McCloud.
That is shenanigans.
Yeah, these are all pretty shenanigans on this one. Oh, man.
There's a lot of 80s cartoons only lasted one season. I'll just say that.
Well, they were only designed to be one season. They were just designed to sell a toy
line. They were designed to sell toys, and they were designed to last a long time. That was the whole goal. The whole goal was to create a hit kids show that you could keep pumping toys out for. That was the whole idea.
Mask and the Power of Illusion?
Mask. Secret Rangers working overtime, fighting crime.
Mask.
And then, I mean, Cops also has an amazing theme song because it's just fucking jazz, like funk fusion and
jazz
rad.
Funk fusion.
But it doesn't have lyrics. So, like, I think there's something there's something like fundamental about having like a best 80s theme song that you have to have lyrics. So I'd say Cops is just like really solid, but it doesn't have that oomph that you get from having a shitty theme song like Spiral Zone. Like the line, Earth's most powerful soldiers are our last chance against the Spiral Zone. It tells you everything you need to know. Everything.
Oh, look at this, the fucking vector graphics.
Yes, I remembered. And everything was animated by the same like two Korean animation studios.
It's amazing. Like
it's a hand drawn.
Because here's my favorite part about Mask was it was like, okay, you have a really cool looking car, but this car fucking turns into a jet, and little boy mind blown.
This
like,
monster truck turns into a boat.
It turns into a boat. Yeah. This helicopter This helicopter turns into a jet. Well, just a second. That just seems kind of ridiculous.
Shoot it with the missiles!
Because wouldn't just a VTOL jet work better?
Working overtime, fighting crime.
Sorry,
fighting
guys.
Crime.
Steve and I are just we're saying fuck it.
Goobing about 80s cartoons.
About 80s cartoons.
It's good stuff.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's not much else to talk about.
I'm telling you, this miniatures game is it. This is it.
This is it, man. This is all that.
The licensing would be a nightmare, I imagine. Mask would not go into the game.
No, Mask wouldn't work.
It's too vehicle centric.
It's also a different scale.
Right. Also true. There's lots that you could, though. You could do. You could do Battle for the Planets, Gatchaman. They would work. Tally-ho. And there's the fucking cowboy for some reason. Partly real. They would be great. Silverhawks would totally fit.
Only if you could have them with separate heads so that you could do either unmasked or masked.
Oh, yeah. Well, you just have a magnetic head.
Well, the magnetic head. The problem is with Silverhawks is that they rely so much on their Silverhawk ship.
Well, you just do them as you just do them in their battle suits.
Yeah, in their battle suits.
They're fine.
Yeah, I mean, I guess.
There's no reason you can't.
Monstar.
Yeah, fighting Monstar.
Monstar.
Yeah, no, it'd be easy. Like you could totally stick them in there. They'd be fine.
Yeah. Oh no, they would work.
And then plus you get to see the Thunderhawks square off against the Silverhawks or the Thunderhawks.
The Thundercats
square off against Silverhawks,
and you could finally decide once and for all which was the better.
I always thought it was Silverhawks.
You thought Silverhawks?
I thought Silverhawks were better.
Thundercats, man.
But Thundercats had Chitara. But Silverhawks had that like super hot silver girl. So
yeah, well, I mean, she had the kind of like that 80s.
They both made me feel things.
They had that 80s Meg Ryan short hair that I never really dug too much.
See, I like,
or not
I like,
Meg Ryan, but you know what I'm talking about.
I like the short hair, but I also like Chitara's big 80s hair. Let's say,
that's what I was always.
They
about,
both
man.
Made me
that
feel
Farrah Fawcett tile 80s hair.
They
yeah.
both made me feel feelings. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, I get it.
And in He-Man, never really got into any of the ladies of He-Man. Evil-Lyn didn't do anything for me.
No.
Skeletor, though.
Yeah! Now that we wasted 30 minutes talking about that.
I wouldn't say it was a waste.
Fighting crime.
Cops. I remember the Cops toys were fucking sick because they had caps in them.
They were expensive as shit,
yeah,
because
they were all cap guns.
I know.
In addition to being a cool action figure, they were also a cap gun.
See, that's the thing is, like, I always, like, am mad at my parents because my parents would never buy me anything new in the store. Every toy that I ever had was probably secondhand from a garage sale, which, as a parent, I appreciate. But as a kid, my parents should have seen that how much I played with my toys and been like, this kid's really into these toys. I mean, you know, we shouldn't, you know, just limit him as much. Because I look at my daughter. My daughter will play with her toys for a little bit, and then she's mostly on the computer or coloring. But, like, me, I constantly played with G.I. Joes. Constantly. Like, if I was my own parent, I would be buying myself G.I. Joes constantly. buying young Joey.
Yeah, for me, it was real Ghostbusters toys for sure. I had so many real Ghostbusters toys. And then, like, the other things, I had, like, a guy. So it's like, I had, like, a cops guy, and he'd be battling with the real Ghostbusters.
And I look at it, and I'm like, granted, inflation was probably a much different deal back in the day, but no G.I. Joe toys were really that expensive.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I have no idea what the price difference is. I know, like, there were, like, all the toys by our price, like, is like dirt cheap. Like G.I. Joes were like $1.35.
Exactly. $1.35.
Yeah, so it's like, I don't know. I don't know how much money that actually translates into nowadays money, but it was a fucking dollar.
I mean, like, yeah, seriously.
Like, from what I understand, unless you go to, like, the Wild West, a dollar has always been a fairly trivial amount of money.
Exactly. Like,
with the sole exception of the Wild West, we were like, how much to kill a man? $1. Holy shit, you want that man dead.
2 bits. Yeah, exactly. So, there we go. Do we have, what else? Shit. There's something I wanted to talk about in terms of GW. It probably isn't really that important now that I'm thinking about it.
All right, we did it.
We did it, guys.
Let's wrap that up.
malign portents, nothing really. I mean, they're just, it's just, like, a lot of the stuff being released right now is either A, we've already known about for a while, or B, it's kind of... And the Malign Portents book and the Legions of Nagash book are being released. It's either this week or next week.
Yeah, and the four specific minis are coming out for Malign Portents. They all seem pretty good.
I mean, they're all very nice, but it's like, oh man, I can't wait to build this goblin shaman and put him in my goblin army that looks nothing like him. So that's great there.
I mean, he looks fine with the current night, or with the newest night goblins. Like,
no, he looks
fine.
He looks fucking thematically completely different.
Well, yeah, because he's made of mushrooms.
Same thing with the Dark Oath Queen. It's like,
well, yeah, she looks awesome compared to the shitty Marauders.
I can't wait to put her with these shitty Marauders.
I think there's a huge difference. I think, like, he works okay. The mushroom goblin works okay with the other night goblins because they have a lot of mushrooms. He's, like, very mushroomy, but, like, I think they work okay. The Marauder, I'll totally give you, because she looks awesome, and the Marauders look like fucking shit.
They look fucking awful. Like, they're so bad at this point that the cast is so old of them that, like, the legs stop having any definition whatsoever. They just look like...
Who's in those pants?
They just look like blobs of plastic.
Yeah, they look really bad. They need to do something about those Marauders.
Yeah, they do. And that's the thing, is, like, one of my biggest problems with this release of Malign Portents is, like, you have... You have four really great figures. Three really great figures. One, the Stormcast guy. I'm like, what's the fucking...
He's got a big mustache.
Yeah.
That should
have been Rogel Dorn's head, is what I'm saying.
His mustache is pretty cool.
Yeah. Like, you have all these great fucking... You have these four great looking figures, and out of them, it's like, you can't put out a new fucking army, even a small fucking army, just to kind of, like, say, like...
I would have done a regiment for them each. Like, this would have been a perfect opportunity to make new Marauders, because you could have the
Marauder
unit. Well,
exactly. You could do, like, something small. You don't have to give them their whole new book, but you could just be like, hey, look, boom, and they're like, oh man, I really want to put an army together with these guys.
Yeah, no, cool, new Marauders.
Yeah, or with Night Goblins, you can do, like, you know, newer Night Goblins or something like that. Granted,
I think the Night Goblin models are perfect. I wouldn't really do anything about them. I would maybe give them another option.
You know what my problem with the Night Goblin models are? They're too small for 25 mil bases. If you're going to have a huge, like, 40-man Night Goblin army on 20...
Aren't they supposed to be on 20 mils?
No, they're on 25s.
Are you sure?
All rounds that GW does is 25 or up. They don't have a 20 mil base.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. All right. Yeah, fair enough.
I mean, you could buy 20 mil bases for figures, but that, you know, people don't like that. They get all upset when you come out with your 20.
Because they're supposed to be on 20 millimeter square.
Yeah, so. Which makes sense because they're small.
They're
but
very wee.
Yeah, and 25s are too. They're too small. So you have these giant bases, and, like, let's face it, I have 6 IKEA shelves at home that are full up. Like, that's a lot of shelf space. For a unit of 40 guys is and 25. That's a huge amount of dudes.
Honestly, I would actually do something a little different if I was going to do, like, if I were in charge. and now we're going to redo the Night Goblins for Age of Sigmar, I would do something completely different, something that people weren't expecting, and I would make Night Goblins a swarm army.
Multi-base them?
Yes. So, you know how Nurglings are a swarm? Like, you have a bunch of Nurglings on one base? That's how I would make Night Goblins. Night Goblins are, like, four Night Goblins to, like, a 40-mil base or whatever.
That would work.
And then, like, that's the
army.
I
don't think you'd be able to fit four on it. Maybe.
Well, what I would...
No, I get what you're saying, though.
And then that would be the army. That's how Night Goblins would work. So you'd have an actual swarm of Night Goblins. And, like, people would need to do three wounds to a Night Goblin to remove one of the bases.
I'd like to subscribe to your newsletter.
I think that would be a really cool way to make them distinct from other horde factions. I think it would make them easy to put together, easy to play. It would entice people to play them because it would make them a unique, like, oh, this is cool, you know. And as far as like rebasing, you have to rebase anyway if they're on squares, so just pop them off and stick them on a multi-base. That's what I would do if I was doing Night Goblins. And then you could still have all the cool character that Night Goblins have. They're a bunch of fucking gobos having fun. And then you could do new sculpts of goblins interacting with each other on a base.
Yeah, because
you could just stick them on a base together. It's like, oh hey, look, they
you get fanatics. You can have
Nothing needs to change. And your squig hoppers would still be on individual bases. Like, things that would make sense to be on individual bases. Are there.
I like this idea.
Netters would still be on individual bases, so you'd have mixed bases in your army.
What
I think
did you
be very
call
cool.
them?
Netters.
Oh, netters.
Yeah.
Okay. Never mind.
Not netters. Netters.
Yeah. I mean, I think that would work. It's just right now it's kind of like GW's releasing a bunch of written material stuff, which is fine, but at the same time it's like you need new models. This is the only thing that makes the game exciting is new models, really.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, I like new models. I like new rules. I think they're cool.
I was talking with a guy I play with who I played Bolt Action with several times. I also play other games with. Yeah. And we were talking about, you know, like what's keeping people from going back to Bolt Action. Like, the community has died out here. Not died, but it's gone down. And I'm like,
Warhammer 40,000?
Well, yeah. But the main thing is that there's nothing coming out for it. It's like you have to have stuff coming out that's going to make people enticed to play. Like campaign books. Nobody fucking likes campaign books. Some people do. Some people like them for the reading material. Mm-hmm. But no one fucking plays a campaign.
No.
If
they do play a campaign, they play their own campaign. They don't play the one you've written.
Yeah, exactly. They don't play like the one in the book because you're like, all right, so I won. What does this get? Oh, I have to consult this tree. Okay. So this is what the next game is going to be. Okay. This is what the next game is going to be. And, you know, so many of the campaigns are like, okay, you lost. You play this next game with 25% less points. Well, it's like, well, I'm going to lose again because this, you know, this is dumb.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what's going on there. Only other thing that I wanted to bring up, at least on my end, is, I'm starting with the 40K. I'm now on book 5 of the Horus Heresy. I'm on Fulgrim.
Out of what are there 40 books now?
40 books. So I'm 1/8 of the way through. I'm 1/9 because I think there's 45 books.
Jesus.
So I'm 1/9 of the way through the Horus Heresy. Yes, I'm.
I really milked that.
I don't think this is the book that everybody hates yet because I don't think it's that bad of a book.
Well, there is apparently like a very. I don't know which one it is.
Well, I don't
but
know
everyone
either,
who's everyone who's a big fan of the Horus Heresy says that there's one book where it's just like, there's like a clear fucking line.
Is it written by C.S. Godo?
I don't know.
Yeah, because I heard he's like the worst writer for GW
Cis
right
Godo.
Now. C.S. Godo.
C.S. Godo. C.S. Godo.
Yeah, I don't know who that is, really. But Fulgrim's fine. It's just Emperor's children running around and... You know, it's like
I like that thing is like that's the thing too. Like when everyone says they read like a 40K book that's like not good or I'm always just like it's a 40K book. Like
yeah,
how
they're
bad?
Not. They are not. This is not high.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
High literature.
Like are you like how bad could it fucking be?
Yeah. These are all like even like the best, but like the Dan Abnett ones, which are probably considered the best, are not that great. They're serviceable science
fiction
books.
They're like action movies. Like, what do you go to? Why do you go see an action movie? To see shit explode. Like, I don't go to an action movie to see, like, brilliant acting jobs amazing. I go to see fucking buff dudes beat people up and shoot rockets.
Yeah, I mean, like,
I want to see fucking Predator. I don't need a fucking soliloquy about, like, the horrors of war. I want to see Schwarzenegger go, you're one ugly motherfucker.
How come, speaking of Schwarzenegger, how come we never got an 80s Terminator cartoon? With like Schwarzenegger, like that seems like
I mean there was a RoboCop one, so
I know doesn't that seem like it would make sense like there would be a Terminator cartoon?
It's
Arnold Schwarzenegger as the Terminator and young John Connor.
I don't think. See, here's the thing. As weird as this sounds,
with evil Miles Dyson,
I believe that kids were allowed to watch RoboCop. yeah. even though it was an R-rated film, because it was super violent. But I believe kids were allowed to watch RoboCop because kids love RoboCop. Kids loved RoboCop. And I think they were allowed to watch RoboCop because he's a cop. So even though he's shooting people, all the people he's shooting are bad. Terminator is a very violent, dark, scary film about a machine that is hunting a woman. Like, that's not a and that's not an entertaining, like, for a kid. I don't think a kid would actually sit through Terminator. Like, I don't think a little kid. I don't think they would be like, eh. Like, I don't think it would fit. Because, like, so much of Terminator, the original, is just, you know, atmospheric. And, like, you know, there's, like, lots of 80s synth soundtracking. Fucking RoboCop hits the ground running. Fucking Murphy gets killed. And then suddenly he's a robot cop. And like, you know, RoboCop's fucking awesome. And there's tons of shit happening in RoboCop. Like, it's a very active film. There's no, like, somber moments in RoboCop. Like, there's, like, 2 seconds where Murphy's like, I'm sad. And then, like, and then he goes back to going, he goes back to shooting people.
Bitches leave.
Bitches leave. Fucking Red Foreman. Who looks exactly the same.
It's fucking great.
Bitches leave. Yeah, so I think kids loved RoboCop. I don't think kids had the same kind of thing for Terminator, which is why there wasn't a Terminator cartoon.
Well, I also think that Terminator 2 came out in, what, 90?
Terminator 2 was like 94?
No, I think it was a little earlier than that.
92 maybe? I don't know. It was early 90s.
It was early 90s, which was kind of past the whole 80s phase,
yeah,
where you would have had that. It's like right on the cusp.
Terminator 2 would have been the one thing to launch a cartoon,
but it
came out too late.
Yeah, I think that's
Terminator 1 was a scary movie. Like, I don't think, and if a little kid did see the Terminator, I imagine they would be scared.
And who was originally supposed to play the Terminator?
Wasn't it Schwarzenegger or Stallone?
No.
Was it Van Damme?
No.
Well, then I don't know.
O.J. Simpson.
What?
Yeah.
No fucking way.
Yep, that's who they
that
wanted.
That can't be accurate.
Yep.
Are you shitting me?
Nope.
That's the dumbest thing ever. I'm so glad that didn't happen.
It could have. It could have been good.
No. No, it would. That would have been fucking dog shit.
I'm not saying it's going to be as great as the Schwarzenegger
one,
but we don't know.
It wouldn't have been good at all.
We don't know.
We do know. O.J. Simpson's been in films. He's not good.
What films?
He's been in all the Naked Gun movies.
Yeah, that's he's playing comedic character.
But he's not good.
and he was in The Towering Inferno.
Burn, baby, burn. Yeah, no, that's awful. That's terrible.
Oh,
terrible.
No. My wife and her fiance, Ron Goldman, they were stabbed. Oh, no.
Yeah. He's a terrible actor, clearly.
Got
you
away
see
with
the
it.
Trial? Yeah, well, you can get if you have enough money, you can get away with shit.
It's true. Welcome to America. Yeah. America.
Now we go back to the whole eating the rich thing.
Going back to eating. See, it all comes full circle.
We do want your lives. Don't walk away.
We should put out a series of RPGs, like science fiction RPGs, just based off Arnold Schwarzenegger movies of the 80s and 90s.
Like, I mean, they would be fine.
Like, completely generic, though, so it's not like the Terminator. It's like the Destroy... like, we call it, like, the Destroyinator. And it's like... It's
the Destructonator.
The Destructonator. And it's straight up just the Terminator.
So, like, the H-400 instead of the T-800?
Yeah. And then there's, nice. Like, a Total Recall one. And, you know, we just make generic versions
recall,
of these.
Recall, recall, recall.
That's on Amazon Prime right now. I just rewatched it.
It's a great movie.
It is.
It's a really good movie. Like, Total Recall is a fucking great movie.
I do have some problems with it, at least from a film perspective. They should never show any scene without Schwarzenegger in it. And here's the reason why, is it completely destroys the illusion of, is this in his head?
Oh, right.
Or is this really happening
to him?
Yeah,
he should be in every scene. I agree with that.
Yeah, because if it's...
Still a solid movie, though.
Oh, it's still a solid movie.
Really good.
Because I still... Like, I think that's what ruins it, is that... When you see a scene without him in it, you're like, oh, this is really happening, because why would something be happening outside of his perspective?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he wouldn't know that, you know, Cohagen would be talking with what's-his-face.
Get your ass to Mars.
Yeah, he wouldn't know that. But because they show it, that disrupts the illusion of the movie.
You know, I still argue that the only bad movie Schwarzenegger's ever done has been Junior.
Really?
Like
Junior's
I
great.
I don't like Junior. I like every other Schwarzenegger movie. I think every other Schwarzenegger movie is great.
And even, I don't know, End of Days is pretty bad.
I like End of Days. End of Days, I mean,
Eraser.
End of Days isn't his, like, best work, but Eraser's pretty solid. There's some great action. There's some great action
Vanessa
scenes
Vanessa Williams, come with me. Like, my rail guns.
The fucking, the plane scene, holy shit. Like, the sound is so good. Like, there's that thing. Every one of his movies, there's
did you see that zombie one he did?
It was great.
Yeah.
That movie was fucking real. That movie was a really good movie. Like, that movie wasn't good in, like, a Schwarzenegger way. That movie was just good. I was surprised.
It was decent. I mean, I'm not going to say
that it was my movie
of the year, but...
I was shocked by how much I liked that movie, actually. Yeah. I was like, oh, that was
You seen Shape of Water yet?
Didn't expect that. No, but I will soon.
Oh, Aquaman.
Fish dick.
You can't love a woman from the surface world. She has no gills. That's what I get. That's the Shape of Water right there.
Very good.
Benicio del Toro. Guillermo del Toro, comic book guy with a Spanish accent.
I can see that.
It works.
I can see that.
Yes. All right. So do we have any other gaming stuff we should probably hit on? I got to get going soon, but...
No.
No card game stuff, no. RPG stuff. They got that new D&D RPG that's supposed to be, like, huge. The D&D module, it's supposed to be, like...
The Mordenkainen's Tome of Foes?
Yeah, that's going to be huge. People are saying that's going to be the new biggest one.
Oh, yeah.
What's the biggest seller right now? The Sword Coast Adventures or something like that?
It was the last one. It was the last book they did. Oh. The one with the beholder on the cover. The Xanthar's Guide to Everything. Xanthar's Guide to Everything was the fastest selling D&D book ever.
Yeah.
And I believe this one will outstrip it because Xanthar's Guide is just like stuff. This is another bestiary, which are always the most popular books. So.
Well, of course. You need to know,
What foes you can smite.
You need to see what animals the D&D creators slap together to make another monster.
Bear shark.
A bear shark, though.
Yeah. That's why I said bear shark. I did watch. I watched the season two of Stranger Things.
You mentioned that before.
Yeah, not a fan.
You know what?
Like that season should have been like three episodes.
Speaking of Netflix shows, did you watch Altered Carbon yet?
I watched the first episode. What a trip!
You know, here's the problem. There's too much going on. I completely agree with this. You can't have that much cyberpunk and not have everybody go, "All right, I'm out."
I liked the premise, but they tried to do too much too fast, like slow it down. For me, very familiar with the cyberpunk genre, I'm okay with that fucking vomit of information.
But even being that full of vomit of information,
still too
you're
much.
Still too much. I'm the exact same way. I watch it and I'm like, hold the fuck on.
I haven't seen the second episode yet, but the first
I finished
one was,
the series. It's pretty
good.
Does
it ever stop?
No, it doesn't. It keeps going. It literally is like an overload of cyberpunk.
Okay.
Where to the point where you're just like,
would you recommend I finish it? Keep in mind I wasn't blown away with the first episode.
I think you would appreciate it. I think the acting is pretty good, and my problem is it doesn't really, it's not a very good mystery show. It's a very good noir show.
Okay.
Because mystery wise it's like there's clues as to how to solve the mystery in it. There are no clues. Like the ending you're just like, oh really? That's okay.
That's
I get it. All
right. I saw the first episode of Electric Dreams or
I haven't watched that yet.
The one on Amazon.
Yeah. Oh, it's LK Dick's Electric Dreams.
Yeah. The first episode's pretty good. It's got Anna Paquin and
Anna Paquin's tooth gap?
No, she doesn't have it. Terrence Howard.
Terrence Howard.
Yeah, Terrence Howard is in it.
The original roadie.
Yes, that was a good one. It's a good roadie.
Yeah, a decent roadie. But what's the other thing? There was a movie. Did you watch Cloverfield Paradox?
No, I was going to watch that today, actually.
Holy shit. You're going to laugh your ass off at it because it's like,
all right, good.
You know what the true Cloverfield Paradox is? How many subplots can we jam into a movie without it collapsing into a black hole?
Because I wasn't a huge fan of the original Cloverfield. I thought it was pretty stupid, but I hate all those shaky cam movies.
Yeah.
I don't think
it wasn't terrible.
I don't think there's a single one I really liked. The thing that pisses me off about Cloverfield specifically is like, if it's a giant monster movie, I want to see the fucking monster. I want Godzilla. Like, show me the monster. Like, you don't have, like, if the new Godzilla kind of did that where it was like really slow to get Godzilla on the screen. When they finally get Godzilla on the screen, though, it's nice. And you're like, yes. Like,
well,
it takes forever.
It's like the original Godzilla. It's like, when are we going to get Godzilla?
Right. But once they put him on screen, it's all, the movie's all Godzilla. Like, he's doing shit. He fucking grabs that moth thing and breaths into its face, which is bad fucking ass. That's the kind of shit I want to see in a monster movie. I don't want to see like glimpses of the monster going around a building.
But what about 10? But 10 Cloverfield Lane was good.
10 Cloverfield Lane was like multiple movies in one, and like I liked and didn't like it.
I really liked 10 Cloverfield Lane.
I did like the twist. I thought the twist kind of made the movie. I was like, oh, okay, that's fucked up. that was how I felt about it.
I mean, there was like multiple twists in
that movie. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And John Goodman, of course, John Goodman was great.
Yeah.
But I felt that movie was a little too long, and I think it might have, like...
The ending, the third act, the tail part of the third act went on a bit too long.
Kind of drags. And that's my problem with a lot of stuff, like, especially Black Mirror. Like,
Black Mirror.
Every episode of Black Mirror is just like, dude, I get it. Like... Fine, but fuck, 40 minutes? Like, well, the Star Trek one, I liked that. Like,
I hated that one.
I liked the concept. I thought it was cool, but that was like, you could do it in like 20 minutes, like 24 minutes episodes tops for that show.
Absolutely. The my problem with Black Mirror, I think I've said it on this podcast before, is that you can't take something that's so negative and stretch it out that long and expect everyone to be like, oh, this is so good. That was what's great about Twilight Zone is Twilight Zone.
24
it,
minutes.
Well, Twilight Zone. Well, there was longer episodes.
But that was the third season, and it was the worst season because it had long episodes.
Well, you have these episodes, but it's always the twist is at the end, and there's usually a wink and a nod at like, oh, yes, you're really in hell because you're an awful person. Yeah. Ah.
The slot machine.
Yeah. Or like, or
oh,
yeah.
No, a casino where I always win. This actually is hell.
Yeah, exactly. And the guy's like, oh, I can finally read all the books I want. Oh, my glasses broke. Oh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, it's like, dude, just pick up your broken glasses and kind of just do your best with it. Like, it's not that bad.
There's time now.
But that's the thing, is like Black Mirror is like, hey, Steve, humanity is shit. You want to see how shitty humanity is? Here's how shitty humanity is. You're going to get 40 fucking minutes of how shitty humanity
so
is.
It's so long.
Yeah.
It's like, come on, go faster.
But the guy did fuck a pig.
And then the very last episode of the most recent season was not too bad because it was a bunch of short stories in one episode.
Well, and that's like San Junipero, which is the one that everybody really likes, is great because it's a positive episode and it's got a positive message in it.
Which one is that?
That's the one with the two girls who fall in love in the
oh, in the virtual world. Yeah, that was a good episode.
That's a great episode.
Also too long.
Yeah. I mean, it was a little long, but I mean, everyone likes that episode because it's positive and it's, I mean, maybe not positive, but I mean, there's a positive side to it, and there is a wink and a nod to it, and I think it's something that people can relate to. Like, everyone's a child pornographer is not something that everybody wants to be.
Right. The video game one was pretty good.
No, that one was shitty.
You didn't like the one where the dude was fighting the spider monster and shit? Why?
Stupid.
Of course it's fucking stupid. It's a sci-fi show.
It's fucking...
It was entertaining.
That whole show is one big jerk off. And people think it's great just because it's dark too.
The thing about that episode, there wasn't even a moral to it. It was just like a weird, like, yeah, he's stuck in a video game. All this shit happens. Turns out it only happened like 2 seconds.
And now he's like got like a fucking.
Well, he died.
Yeah, he died because his phone rang.
Yeah,
it's
but like
stupid.
Why? But that's the thing. That was just
Limits. Yeah, cool. The Outer Limits in the 90s would be like it happened in 2 seconds, and then aliens came down
and his head exploded turned into aliens.
Yeah, exactly. And everyone would be like, "Fuck yeah!"
Yeah, I like that.
Show
Limits.
Would get canceled.
I love The Outer Limits.
Yeah.
I think that's on streaming now. Outer Limits.
Probably on Amazon or something like that. All right. So go to planetarbitrary.com for your Planet Arbitrary needs. You can follow me on Twitter at Planet Arbitrary. You can follow Steve at
I'm Command Throw.
Like our Facebook page /GameClassyPodcast. The best way you can help out the podcast is like, comment, subscribe on iTunes. You could also listen to our sister podcast. We have Play On Podcast, where Pat and Steve talk all about the video games. I got a bunch of old Nintendo Power magazines for Pat
nice.
That I found at a Half Price Books.
Radical.
I got the Street Fighter II one.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
He was. I finally played him in Street Fighter II on the Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
Because he never played against my E-Honda before.
Oh.
He played against my E-Honda.
Did he lose?
No, yeah.
Yeah.
Nobody beats my E-Honda.
Oh, okay.
Not on Super Nintendo. Maybe in some of the other ones, but my E-Honda, he's good.
Yeah, I was never good at Street Fighter 2. Championship Edition, I was a little better at. Because I was pretty good with the Vega.
It was pretty wild. Like, I actually forgot how much... Like, it's so funny watching modern fighting games when people say, like, oh my god, the move does so much damage. And I was playing... I was like, dude, fucking Street Fighter 2 rounds are over in like 2 seconds. Like, damage is fucking crazy in that game. Like, a Hadouken almost kills you.
Yeah. And but it also goes super slow, so it's pretty easy to either dodge or
right.
jump over.
And I was like, man, now I know why people still play Street Fighter 2, because like that is exciting. Like,
yeah, Street Fighter 2, the thing with the Hadouken is Hadoukens are really powerful if you can get them off, and if you don't get your ass kicked because of the lag after throwing the Hadouken,
right.
you could get easily chopped.
There's real risk.
There's real risk in doing it.
That's
why you do it really close when you get the guy pinned to the corner of the screen.
Yep. Sweep Hadouken.
Exactly.
Good stuff.
See, I don't even like street. I don't even like street fighting games, but I understand.
Street Fighter 2 is fun.
Yeah,
Street Fighter 2 is good.
It's a classic. You also can listen to Deconstructing Daycare, where Pat and others discuss
the others.
Well, it's your sister and
Kyle.
And Kyle. I always forget Kyle's name, and I shouldn't because I've known Kyle for years. where they talk about TV shows, like kiddie TV shows in modern context. You also have, I'm going to get on there and talk about 70 Sesame Street. That's going to be my goal.
70 Sesame Street?
Coked out 70 Sesame Street.
Right on.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Mescaline. And you also have, what else am I missing? Weeb Town, which is the Twitch YouTube show.
Yep.
where Steve and Young Giuseppe have they just did the Dragon Ball Z game.
Yeah, we're probably gonna do that again.
Dragon Ball Z balls.
Holy fuck, dude, that game is huge.
Like, yeah, I would imagine
ridiculously
so.
Ridiculously huge.
Dragon Ball Z is one of those things that like I think unites all people our age, or a little younger than us, of like all race, genders, and creeds. Is somehow everybody likes Dragon Ball.
It's fucking crazy, dude.
I mean, you could not like it, but there are people, there are black people, Asian people, Mexican people, Hispanic people, like every race, well, there's a group of people who love Dragon Ball.
And to be fair, lumping aside, DBZ's fucking huge in Mexico.
Yeah.
Like, gigantic. The Spanish language, like, I was actually kind of tilted, and a lot of people talk, like, people were kind of joking about it, but I really wish they had the Spanish language dub, because the Spanish language dub of Dragon Ball Z is amazing. I think it's actually the best version of Dragon Ball.
Vegeta, ¿dónde está la biblioteca?
All of the voices they chose are fucking perfect. They kept the original soundtrack and all the violence. Like that was my preferred method of watching the show as a younger lad.
Muy bueno.
No puede ser.
Bueno.
Starkey.
Did I miss any? Oh, and then we also have Comic Book Logic, which will be coming back with Black Panther in a week.
That movie's gonna be fucking huge.
It's gonna be the biggest movie.
It's already pre-sold more. Now, I thought I saw a blurb on this. Maybe you know for sure. I heard that it already has pre-sold more tickets than any film in history.
It may have. I haven't really been paying that much attention. However, my prediction is that it's going to be the third Marvel movie to hit a billion. It's Avengers, Avengers 2, and Black Panther will be the third one.
Yeah, I mean, it looks fucking great.
The only thing that's going to keep
I'm pretty Marvel movied out, and I was just like, damn, that movie looks fucking good.
The only thing that's going to keep it out, well, it's because it looks like something completely new, like something you've never seen before.
Yeah.
What's going to keep it down? Racists.
I don't think there's enough of them to make it not make $1 billion.
There's enough racists to elect Trump as president. There's
enough. But that's only a quarter of the population.
Less than.
Yeah. So there you go.
Yeah, it's far less because he only had like 3 million. There's 300 million. It's 1/10 of the population.
So there you go.
Yeah. So,
but we live in a stable and free democracy where everyone's vote matters.
Yay! So, Steve, until next time.
Gonna be huge. Black Panther. Loved it.
Game classy.